It's the Frank DeCaro Show, live from New York City and L.A. on OutQ.
It's Frank DeCaro and Doria Biddle. We are live in Los Angeles, back in New York City. Gonzo's bringing this together and out to you via the magic of satellite radio Sirius XM OutQ. And Alex, the barely legal intern, is taking your calls at 866-305-6887. I want to welcome to our show someone we've been a fan of ever since he burst on the scene in Queer as Folk, the American version, of course, of that we all watched on Showtime, and really a groundbreaking show. Mr. Randy Harrison is with us, and he's in a new musical called Atomic. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. Good. How are you? Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm so pleased that you could be with us.
My pleasure. I'm sorry you're not here. I wish I could see you.
It's the same as, well, I lost 50 pounds since you saw me, but other than that, it's pretty much
Wow.
Oh, you're sweet. Yes, anyway, don't, you're not a chubby chaser. Now, stop it. But anyway, Randy, I'm so pleased, as I said, that you could be here. But so tell, I was like, when I saw the poster for Atomic, I was like, there's a Manhattan Project musical? Tell us about Atomic. I know. Tell us about Atomic.
It's a rock musical about the Manhattan Project, about the creators of the atomic bomb, specifically Leo Szilard. Story. He was one of the scientists who created it. He came up with a nuclear reaction, and then he was one of the scientists to start a petition to prevent it from being dropped, because they thought it was just going to be used as a threat. They didn't think it would actually, you know, be dropped. And so it's a really fascinating story.
That's great. And when did you go into the show?
I guess we've been rehearsing. I've been working on it for two and a half months, maybe. It had an Australian production, and then they got these producers involved to bring it to New York. So I've been involved since this New York production started rehearsing.
And was musical theater, was that your original background, or was that what you had intended to do before, of course, we all knew you from Queer as Folk?
Right, I know. It wasn't, I grew up doing all kinds of theater. I always sang, I know I'm not a dancer, but I sang and acted, and then I actually did go to school for musical theater in Cincinnati, but I got kind of really burnt out of it by the time I graduated from school, and avoided it for like, God, 7 years or something. I did Wicked, I think, right near the end of Queer as Folk, maybe right after we stopped shooting. And that was the first musical I did probably in 6 years at that time. So
did,
I do it off and
did
on.
Wicked on Broadway, yes?
I did do Wicked on Broadway, yeah.
Yeah. Who did you play in Wicked?
I was Bach, the munchkin who turns into the Tin Man. Now I'm actually too tall. It was sort of at the beginning of the show, so now they have a height cutoff, but at the time they hadn't clarified that, so I was probably the tallest the tallest munchkin.
It's one of the many groundbreaking things you've been
I know of. You know, tall munchkins, butt sex on TV. I'm blazing trails left and right.
You are definitely you are. We went to that the naughty place there.
Sorry.
What's the it's good. What's the which anniversary are we at with Queer as Folk? Wasn't it just like a
it started airing in
2005?
I think we're like close to the 10th anniversary of it going off the air, because it started in 2000, I think. And so it ended in 2005, 2006.
Because if you follow folks like you, or if you follow folks on Twitter who've been on Queer as Folk, there is still people going, please make a movie.
There's a huge fan base, especially abroad. Interesting. I think it's sort of spread across the Atlantic.
What do you think? I am of the mind that it doesn't get that when you're first, you don't get the credit necessarily that somebody who came after. I mean, it was really groundbreaking.
It was
at the time.
It was really groundbreaking. There's still nothing quite like it.
Other than the dildo falling and breaking the fax machine, which is my favorite story ever that anyone told me about. Was it a really good experience? Well, no, I always tell that story because that was when I was up there before. Remember, it was before it premiered.
Right.
I came.
You were like my first interview ever, weren't you? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But I just remember everyone talking about the dildo that broke the fax machine, and they were like, no dildos within 10 feet of the fax machine. So I just remember that. But someone stuck it to the wall and it fell and it broke the fax machine. That was the way it went. Was it a very positive experience for you?
It was really positive. There's nothing like it, especially, I mean, the farther I get away from it, the more, and the more experience I have, the more I realize what a rare sort of opportunity it was. And it was such a joyful set. It was such a crazy group of lovely people. And I think because most of us were in Toronto, most of us were displaced, so we really sort of bonded about, sort of made a family up there. It was wonderful.
I was going to say, you guys called it Planet Queer as Folk because it wasn't even really in Toronto. I mean, it was that soundstage away from Toronto. So uh-huh. You guys really were on your own doing your thing.
In Etobicoke. Yeah. We were. We were. It was sort of like this bubble outside of the real world. And I think we all knew we were a part of something that had never happened before, that was unique, and appreciated that opportunity.
And now you, but it does have, it must be nice to know that it has kind of that rosy glow looking back on it. You're like, this was kind of a very special, important thing that happened.
It does. Television. It does have a rosy glow. It had less of a rosy glow 5 years in when you're in the middle of it. But now it's.
Yeah, well, I would think. Yeah, it's kind of. Now do you make your home in New York? You do, right?
I always have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had just moved here when I got Queer as Folk. So then I was, my first 5 years in New York were spent, 6 months of the year were in Toronto, and the rest of the time was here.
And do you prefer that to saying, oh, I'll go out to LA or?
I love New York. I'm a New Yorker. I always wanted to live here. I always loved it when I was here, before I lived here, and I've always loved living here. I come out to LA periodically to work or to audition or to have meetings. I would be happy to move to LA temporarily if a job brought me there, but I wouldn't just go looking for work. Whereas here, I can live no matter what I'm doing.
And doing this. And how is that? I mean, are you guys with Atomic? Is it 8 performances? How many performances a week do you guys do?
Yep, 8 shows a week.
8's rough, I think.
It's standard.
Amazed.
It's totally standard. I can't think of a time when I didn't do 8 shows a week.
Yeah. But isn't it true that you kind of, the only thing, when one is in a musical, all you do is be in that musical?
It's kind of true. Yeah. It really, really affects, you know, the way you spend your energy during the day, the amount you sleep, if you can go out, what you eat, what you drink, napping. I mean, your whole sort of schedule revolves around the 3 hours that you're going to have to be on stage.
We're talking to Randy Harrison. He is appearing in Atomic, a brand new musical that's off Broadway at the Acorn Theater on Theater Row. That's 42nd Street. And it was an Australian musical, and it's about the Manhattan Project, mm-hmm. of all things. Now, what's your character? Tell us about your character.
I play 2 characters. I play Paul Tibbetts, who was the captain of the Enola Gay, which is the plane that dropped the first bomb. I play him sort of far before that, when he first joins the army, and then again right before he drops the bomb. And then I also play Edward Teller, who was one of the younger scientists at the time on the Manhattan Project, and he ended up going on to create the hydrogen bomb. He was a huge advocate for having a big nuclear arsenal, really conflicting character. So I play those 2 guys. It's
Does it seem like an odd idea for a musical?
It's a very odd idea for a musical. It works really fascinatingly, though, I have to say.
Does the offbeat nature of it, was that something that really appealed to you?
What appealed to me most is that I didn't know the story. I mean, I knew about the Manhattan Project vaguely. I knew about the bomb, but I didn't know about Leo Szilard. I didn't know, you know, that he spearheaded like a big petition that a bunch of scientists signed to stop it, and that he went on to use radiation to treat cancer. Like, he pioneered that innovation after creating the bomb because he felt so guilty. He wanted to do something positive with his breakthroughs. So I thought that was fascinating, and that I didn't know that story. I thought it's a story that should be told, that people would be interested in hearing.
Is it lighthearted at all, or is it pretty serious?
No, it definitely has comic moments. It has comic moments. It has some really funny things about it. But, I mean, ultimately, it ends on a note of, you know, questioning, you know, what we did, your, like, responsibility, scientific responsibility, cultural responsibility. It's tough to take at the end, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you hear the title Atomic, my first thought was the Debbie Harry Blondie musical. And it's like, no, it's so not that.
Is there a Blondie musical? Because there should be.
There should be. Right. I know. And you're blonde. You could play her. It'd be wonderful. I would love to watch that. So you did a film that people are talking about called Such Good People,
yes.
with Michael Urie and others. Tell us a little bit about that. Doria has seen it. Tell us about it.
It is like a caper comedy that Michael Urie and I did. last summer we shot it in LA. It's very funny. It's about a young Los Angeles couple, married gay couple, who sort of house it for people and find a bunch of money and all these sort of escapades that follow when they try to sort of steal it and then have a guilty conscience and try to take it back and try to donate it. And, you know, it's really fun. Playing with him was a real joy.
Well, the two of you, I mean, it's such a good matchup, and it seems like an awful lot of fun.
I know. I know, and we'd met in New York a bunch and done readings together, and I knew his partner from, we worked together in the Berkshires, but we'd never gotten to really, really play off each other like that. So it was exciting. It was a fun time.
That's, and do you know when and if and how we're going to
I don't know. I know it's doing the festival circuit now, so I know it's been playing at festivals, but I don't know any distribution details or release details yet. I don't know if it's happened entirely.
And aren't there a lot of other fun people in such good people?
More
than just you and Michael Urie, as if that's not enough.
Yeah, James Urbaniak is in it. He's hilarious. Carrie Wita is in it. There's tons of people.
Is our own Lance Bass in it, too?
Lance Bass is in it. He was so fun to work with. There's tons of cameos from a bunch of wonderful L.A. comedians and actors.
So. Well, that's fine. We'll definitely keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I have.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I haven't seen a cut. I want to see it. I'm excited to see it. I haven't seen it in a while. I don't think I've seen the final version that's now playing festivals, because I've been entrenched in Atomic Land.
Randy, you're not in it anymore. I hate to.
They cut me out. They cut me out. That happens.
They told
every
you
time.
It was the lead role, but it's not worked out as well. That's the way it goes. No, now with Atomic, how long is Atomic running at the Acorn Theater?
We have a month. We have about a month left. We run till the middle of August.
And what's coming after that for you? Do you know?
I do not know yet. I don't know. Auditioning.
Now, are you good with that, or you're like Joan Rivers with an empty calendar? Does it freak you out if you don't know exactly what the next thing
is? No, it doesn't freak me out anymore. I'm good at it now. The empty calendar usually doesn't last very long, and I have like a million hobbies to occupy my time.
Like what?
Oh my God. Everything. Like, I'm always in class for something or other. I'm like learning how to sew. I'm learning how to cook. I'm just always doing things. So I'm okay with an empty calendar.
I think sewing is right. I'm sort of the button fell off the duvet. I better go take it into the dry cleaner to have them put a button back on.
I try to do it myself.
Anybody should be one should.
But you can tell. Good. I mean, anything that I did myself, it's like glaringly obvious. Like, oh, Randy, you fixed that yourself, didn't you? It's like knotted and weird looking.
Well, you could say it's top stitching or something. You know, just make it seem like it was an intentional.
It's very homemade to it yourself.
It's Etsy. We've gone Etsy. Uh-huh. That's really what we've done with it. So, are you learning how to cook? Are you doing, what kind of stuff do you do?
All of it. I mean, I cook. I learn how to sew. I go through sort of periods of suddenly getting obsessed with some specific craft project or activity, and then it falls away, you know, after a few months of it. So for a while, the sewing machine was out like all the time, and I was just watching Project Runway and like trying to make things, and there's scraps all over the house. And then, you know, and then you enter rehearsal for something and everything, pack everything away. It'll come out again in a year.
Bring it back out there, and then you'll just stitch it up, and we'll wear it. It could be a whole new thing,
right?
You know, it's like, what do you do? Well, in the evenings, I'm in a musical about the Manhattan Project. During the day, I'm making
drop crotch pants and sweatshirts won't leave the house in, but I wear. I haven't made anything that I would leave the house in from scratch.
Have you made drop crotch pants, Randy Harrison?
I've attempted it. Yeah, they didn't last very long, but they were like. They were good pajama bottoms for about a month.
I have a little trouble with the hammer look coming back. You know, it's just a little bit.
They're comfy in the house, though. They're really comfortable.
All right. Well, maybe I'll try it.
Should we
follow you on Twitter and stuff?
Yes. Do
you tweet?
I do. I don't tweet that often, but I am on Twitter. Randy Harrison 01. There was already a Randy Harrison, so I had to come up. Well, I was very, very late to the game. as far as Twitter is concerned.
Okay. We'll follow you on there, and we'll do that. I don't like when someone takes... You know, it's sort of... I think you should just write to them, dear Randy Harrison, who doesn't have the O-1.
Real other people with the same name as me. Although I don't know who the Randy Harrison is. I haven't really looked at their Twitter page.
I'd know everything about him.
I used to be like
I would find out, and I would say, why do you have... No, I had to be Frank DiCaro Show, because Someone is Frank DiCaro.
Was he imitating you, or was it just a completely other Frank DiCaro?
He said, I'm heterosexual and I'm not the radio guy, and stop accusing
Leaving
me of
me alone.
And I was like, yeah.
I used to do research and get like interested in that, but I feel like it's really unhealthy to be too curious about other people imitating you or...
I think you're right, but I agree with you, but I can't take that to heart. Randy Harrison, thanks so much for being with us. Atomic continues at the Acorn Theater on Theater Row through mid-August at least, and so we'll definitely check that out. Thanks for being with us, and people can go to telecharge.com to get tickets, and we'll find out more, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, come see
Randy Harrison, come back and visit us anytime.
Anytime. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks. When we return to The Frank Show, more funnier on Sirius XM OutQ.